Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Wonderful. Stand up on your feet. Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 11. This is the final message of our series that we've been in for these many months, Foundations for Life. Here we go. Let's go. New International Version, Genesis chapter 11. And we do have notes that are in your hot little hand, I pray. If you don't have notes just yet, you be sure to get the attention of the ushers and they'll bring that to you. Genesis chapter 11, starting in verse 24, reading through Genesis 12, verse 5. Brace yourself. Let's go. When Nahor lived 29 years, he became the father of Terah. And after he became the father of Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and had other sons and daughters. After Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abraham and Nahor both married. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Ishka. Now, Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out for Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. To go to where? To go to Canaan. To go to where? To go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and died in Haran. Chapter 12 now, verse 1 through 5. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and from your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this incredible series, Foundations for Life, in the first 11 chapters. And I pray and ask, God, that these messages over these months would have been foundation blocks that have been put in the lives of each and every one of us so that we would live according to these truths and we would take them to heart and apply them in our lives and in our study of your word. And now at the concluding message, I pray, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Ghost, come upon us, that we would give living understanding. Give us, release to us living understanding. Release to us revelation that causes a revolution inside of us, that we would fulfill the call and the purpose and the destiny that you have for us individually as well as corporately, Kings, Cathedral, and chapels around the world. May we never be the same. May every man, woman, and child be brought low and you be glorified today. And when we leave, we would know that you have spoken to us. In Jesus' name, amen. This text is profound. It's profound because it teaches us how to live in the place of the blessing of God. God wants you to live in the blessing. I want you to say that right out loud. Say it with me. God wants me to live in the blessing. Come on, say it again. God wants me to live in the blessing. Turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, God wants you to live in the blessing. Turn to your other neighbor and say it to him. God wants you to live in the blessing of God. As we've come to this conclusion, this is a powerful text that'll help you, a capstone, if you will, of the first 11 chapters as we've been studying here. Now, in your notes, an understanding of time through genealogies. If you look in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 8, compared to 1 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 11, it says this. I want to teach you something about genealogies before we get into the meat of this text. Matthew 1 and 8 says, Asa begot Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat begot Jehoram, Jehoram begot Uzziah. But then in a corollary text, now this New Testament genealogy, referring to 1 Chronicles, listen to this. 1 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 11. Jehoram, his son Uzziah, his son Joash, his son Amaziah, his son Azariah, his son Jomath, his son. It appears that there's gaps in the New Testament declaration of the genealogy compared to the Old Testament declaration of that genealogy. And even though there's gaps, what you have to understand in genealogies is that there's a flow. It's a flow of time and a flow of genealogy. It's important to understand they are real people in real time. I want you to say that they're real people in real time. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 36, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech. He's talking about the lineage of Jesus. But then in Genesis 11, pardon me, verse 13 and 14, you'll see they don't exactly line up. There's a flow of understanding time and people. So it's not always trying to capture the exact detail of every name in the lineage, but it's very important to understand that Jesus came from the lineage of David. This powerful text that we read, we see that they're in the city of Ur. They're called out of Ur. Ur is the city of Iraq. That is where Ur is. It was a real city. It was a sophisticated city. And they worshiped the moon god. They were full blast pagans. And in worshiping the moon god and all of their paganism, God speaks to Terah, the father of Abram, who later becomes Abraham. And he speaks to his father and he calls him to go to Canaan's land. And so he calls him. Who's called? Look at verse 31 of Genesis 11. And Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his son, and Sarai his daughter. They went forth of Ur the Chaldeans, as I moved ahead, into the land of Canaan. Then when they came to Haran, they dwelt there. If you go to Acts chapter 7 and verse 2 and 3, Stephen says, the first martyr, he says, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. See, I believe that not only was Abram called, but his father was called. God spoke to his father and said, go to Canaan's land. But you'll notice he never got there. He never got to Canaan's land, but Abram did. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 4, It says, and he came to the land of the Chaldeans where he dwelt in Haran. And from thence he went, and his father died. He removed him into this land, which we now dwell. That's King James Version. In Genesis 11 and 26, it says this. And Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. All right, write in your notes. The children of Terah are listed in importance, not in the birth order. And you'll find that in scripture many times. All right, so God is seen and that he reveals himself. Moving forward in your notes, Roman numeral 2. God is seen as that he reveals himself to real people in real time. Why is that significant to me? Because you, in the midst of your very possibly pagan family, can appear to you, can talk to you right now. God can talk to you through this message. God can speak to you anywhere through dreams and through visions, through circumstances. He not only can, he wants to. And God speaks to people. He spoke to me. He speaks to me. He speaks to you. Come on, his sheep know and hear his voice. But in the midst of the paganism of that culture, I don't know, you think it's bad here, and it is. Men being called women, women being called men, all kinds of horrible things happening in our culture. The level of paganism and defilement back in the day of Abram and Terah, his father, far exceeds anything we're in now, but we're moving that direction. God reveals himself to people just like us. He can speak to you today, even through this broadcast and this video and those on Facebook and those on YouTube and Point Hope. He can speak to you right now. And God's intention is seen when he speaks to Terah and Abram. His intention is seen is that he wants to bless us. Come on, say that. Say, God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us. And he not only wants to bless us, he wants to make us a blessing. Many times when I pray and I receive the tithes, I say, oh God, may the blessing of Abraham be upon us. Did you bless Abraham in all things? That he might be a what? That he might be a blessing. Make us like Abraham, that we'd be blessed in all things. For what purpose? To be a blessing, not for your own greed, but to be a blessing. But it's a profound revelation to know God's plan is to bless you. God's hope is to use you to be a blessing to the nations of the world, to your family, to your neighbor, to the community. God wants to bless you so big that when people look at you, they say, my God, how has that happened? And you say, oh, it's Jesus. Oh, I received Jesus at that crazy big church on the hill. I received Jesus and I got born again and I got filled with the Spirit and I'm growing in the word and the blessings of God are overtaking me. All that you see in my life is because of Christ. And it's a testimony. It's a declaration that if God did it for the likes of you, snatching you like a stick from the fire, pulling you out of your pagan family, and he saved you and healed you and delivered you, then he can do it for anybody. Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? God's plan is to bless you and to use you to be a blessing. If you walk in such a way, it's what he said to Abram, who later becomes Abraham. If you walk in such a way that your family is blessed, you walk in such a way that you obey me, I will use you to change the world. I will use you to change the earth. If you walk in my ways and you follow hard after me, I'll not only bless you, I will use you to change nations. Those who bless you, I will bless. Oh, there's nothing like walking with God. God wants to bless you. There's no question about that. God wants to bless you, and that's not the problem. The challenge is positioning yourself to receive the blessing. Oh, snap. God wants to bless you. The challenge is putting yourself in the place where you can receive the blessing. And then not only that, staying there. Doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter what you've done. God can deliver. You've come into this place and you've made a bunch of bad decisions. Well, welcome to the club. I don't make bad decisions anymore. I'm done with that. I'm done with living a life of pain and separation from God long ago, decades ago. I gave it up. I would highly advise you don't partner with pain. Give your life to Christ and walk in the blessings of God. Walk. He said, well, what do you mean? At the end of this service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get right with Jesus. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you haven't believed on the Lord that he died in your place because you deserve death. We all deserve death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You must receive Jesus. And so I'll give you a moment at the end of this message to do that. But it's so important to stay in the place of blessing. He'll redeem you. Come on. He can bring you out. He did it for Rahab. House of prostitution becomes a house of salvation. It doesn't matter where you came from. He wants to bring you into the promised land and then cause you to be a blessing to so many other people. That's the challenge. Every person under the sound, come on, listen to me right now. Every person under the sound of my voice, God has a destiny. God has a plan. God has a purpose for you, but you must embrace it. The one who knit you together before you were in your, while you were in your mother's womb, he knew you before he knit you together, has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, I have a hope and a future. Ready, set, go. I have a hope and a future. He's carved you in the very palm of his hand. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, but understand clearly, you, me, us, we can leave him. We can forsake him. Very clearly. And this is profound because you see this as we move to Roman numeral 3. God speaking to us here. They came to Haran. This is verse 31. And dwelt there. They weren't supposed to dwell in Haran. They're supposed to go to Canaan's land. But his father settled and they had to wait. And it wasn't until Terah died that the word of the Lord comes to Abram again and says, now get going. What are you saying, Pastor? I believe that what Terah did is he heard the word of the Lord in the midst of his pagan culture. He responded in faith, but stopped. Some of you have responded in faith and you got going, but then you got discouraged and you stopped. I don't know why he stopped, but the point is this. The plan was for them to go to Canaan's land. They got out of Ur, good job, but they settled. We can abort God's plan. You can abort God's plan. Just because you received powerful prophetic words, we don't despise prophecy, we believe in them. And you hear the word, I have a plan and a hope and a vision for you. You can undermine, you can cut off, you can abort God's plan. You can stop moving forward. And I've seen it over and over and over and over again, where God calls people, they get going, but they get discouraged. And the seeds of and vision they had and the hope that they had gets wiped out because they got discouraged, or the enemy comes and attacks them and they give up. I want you to go to Matthew chapter, the 13th chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to read this to you because this appears to me to be what happened to Terah. Called by God out of Ur with his family, but he stopped in Haran. And when he's dead, the call comes back on his son. And that's a powerful picture of fathers and sons and parents and the influence you have on your kids. Abram couldn't move forward in the vision because his dad said no. Watch this. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 1 through 9, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered to him. He got into the boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And he told them many things in parables, saying, quote, a farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still others fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear. Jesus talks about the sower and the seed and the soil. The sower, the seed is the word of God. The evil one comes to snatch the word. Something happened to Terah, and maybe something's happened to you. Maybe God spoke to you that you're going to do this business, and you came up against it, and you had difficulty, and maybe your partner threw in the towel, or somebody took advantage of you. Maybe you were unequally yoked, and you entered into a difficult time, and it caused that dream of that business or that restaurant to fail. And so as a result, you just give up on it altogether. No, when God speaks to you, he wants to bring it to fruition, but the evil one comes to snatch the word. He comes to snatch the word. You'll be in services like this, but you won't hear what I'm saying. You want to hear what the word's saying? You don't want to hear what the word's saying because the last time, and I don't mean to mock that. I'm trying to shake you from the apathy and from being in a place of Haran. You've got to keep going. Praise God you moved out of Ur. Praise God you took a step and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Praise God you started. Don't stop. Keep going. Don't abort the plan of God. But Pastor, you don't understand. No, I probably don't, but I understand a little bit about the one who calls us. And the good work that he began, he'll fulfill until the day of Christ Jesus. The only thing he can't do is with somebody who'll take himself off the potter's wheel. You can take yourself out. You can abort the plan. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going. Last time I did that, I got hurt. Oh, grow a spine and get healed. I had this man say to me years ago, I'm never going to join a church. I'm going to come, Pastor. I enjoy the service. I enjoy the worship. I enjoy the preaching, the fellowship, but I will never join. I will never be on a board again. That's what he said. I said, oh, you were on a board before? He says, yes, total nightmare. One of the most painful things I've ever been through. Well, our board has a different experience. And I said to him, don't let that stop you from moving forward. Move forward. This will be a different experience. He says, no. And he never did. He never moved forward. Soon he wasn't a part of the church, and I pray he's going somewhere else. This is decades ago, 20 years ago. It's not the case. It's not the case with others I know. They went through a bad experience, and they got healed. Somebody said, well, you go to Kings. They'll never hurt you there. That's not true. We just won't do it on purpose. There is offenses that come. There are challenges that come. And God many times offends the mind to reveal your heart. And I've had people say to me, oh, I started off in, you know, being a life group leader. And I just ran into such difficulty and opposition that I never want to do that again. And so now I just don't serve like that. The same devil that came against you when you were a life group leader has now nullified you to doing nothing for God except existing. He can't snatch salvation from you, but you have aborted the plan. You've settled in Haran. You got to break that off. The person lets trouble and persecution, write in your notes. Let's trouble and persecution steal. It's a tragedy to see people fail to understand the real enemy who wants to abort the plan is the enemy. If he can get you in agreement, get you discouraged, get you to quit, then you've settled in Haran. Come on, somebody say, don't lift a hand and say, I'm never gonna settle. Say, I'm never gonna settle. Look at number three. When the person's worries in life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke them out. Oh, I've seen it over and over again. Somebody said, I just gotta make money. That you do need to work. The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. But if you make your life about making money, then it'll cause you to fall away from the Lord. Many people have pierced themselves through, the New Testament says. Don't make money the goal of your life. Make the kingdom of God. Make being like Christ the goal. Seek heaven. Seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and all your strength. And then God will add all of those things. Matthew 5. Seek first the kingdom of God. He adds, oh, is it that simple? It is that simple. Work hard. Be faithful. Be a tither. Be a giver. Be faithful to God and obey him. Listen, when God calls you out of the boat to get on the water, it can be a little bit scary. And when you get out like Peter, you get out, fix your eyes, fix your gaze on the one who called you. Don't look at all the wind and the waves because you'll sink. Come on, focus on him. Don't settle in Haran. Don't abort the plan. Good is the enemy of great. Let me say that again. Good is the enemy of great. He said, this is a good thing. Yeah, but is it a God thing? Good is always the enemy of great. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Listen to me now. With your children, when you ask them to do something and they don't do it, they wait. That is disobedience. Some of you are disobeying. God has spoken to some of you to open your homes for a life group, but you're like, well, I just can't. I just don't. He spoke to you to do it. I want to tell you, if you will open your home, if you'll get involved and obey what God called you to do, you'll find it's like the ark of the covenant moves into your house. It's like the glory of the Lord comes. We're looking for host homes. Sign up at the Next Steps desk. Be a part of the fall. The fall, we're gonna release dozens and dozens of homes and leaders. Be a part of the process. You gotta plug in right now. Get the Discover track. Go to the Discover track. Learn how to do. You say, well, the last time, forget about the last time. It's a new day. And learn to do things a new way. I need to say this. There's someone here, you've got a business plan and you're ready to step out in faith. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, the last time I did it, didn't work, but I've got fresh faith and I'm gonna step out again. Yeah, if you step out again with the principles that you used last time, you'll have the same problem. You cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We have a saying here at Kings, and I should say I have a saying. I've made it a King saying, and I've got it from someone else. And it's this: you fellowship with all, you partner with some, you build on sons. Do not build your business, do not build your ministry, do not build that which God's called you to do on someone who is not faithful and loyal and fruitful and tested, because it will hurt you. The last time you ventured out in business, you had somebody that was not faithful and loyal. They just had money maybe, or they just had giftings, or they just had talent. Talent is not enough. Money, no. Faithful, loyal, fruitful. And if you stay faithful and loyal and fruitful, God will give you money, God will give you vision, God will elevate you. Be faithful in the little things, he makes you ruler over much. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. All right, look at B. Come on, B. You ready? Let's go. We must continue to obey and take steps of faith. I mean, thank God, you know, Tara's like, yes, let's go. Lord, the Lord spoke to me. We're leaving the pagan culture. Fantastic. Let's go. We're going. Here we go. We're going. Oh, wait, we get to Haran and he settles. Don't stop. Just keep obeying. You can't just rest on your, you don't rest on your laurels. Every step of faith leads to another step of faith. I want you to say that. Every step of faith leads to another step of faith. That's the way it is in the kingdom. And you have to continually take steps of faith. You can't live on past faith. Congratulations for leaving Ur. Congratulations for leaving your pagan culture. Keep going. Keep moving. Keep obeying. But it's hard. No, hard is the way of the transgressor. Yes, God's trying to teach you to rule and reign. Yeah, you're in God's gym. You're in the Lord's gym. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep praying. Keep believing. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen in the house of God? You keep going. Don't stop and abort the plan of God. There's no retirement in life. You might have retired from, you know, Con Edison and you get the ring. Praise God, you retirement from MEA or retire from, but you don't ever retire in the kingdom. You keep, it's not retire, it's refire. There's no retirement in the life of faith because there's no retirement to the blessings of God. And the blessings of God hinges, listen closely, the blessing of God hinges on us putting ourselves in the place of the blessing. And that requires you taking steps of faith. Let me say that again. The blessing of God hinges on you obeying God and taking steps of faith. You stay in the place, if you live in the place of blessing, by taking steps of faith. Abram had to keep going. Soon, the one who had no children gets a name change, and he's now called Abraham, the father of many who has no kids. How'd you like to introduce yourself? Hi, my name's Abraham. Oh, father of many. How many kids you have? Well, you see those stars? He didn't have any. He was moving prophetically. And then, come on, we're all children of Abraham now. My God. Got to take action. Number two, back in your notes, take action. Take action. What are you doing now? Praise God for what you did in 1995. Praise God for the move of the Spirit, 1995. What God did in 2000. What are you doing now? If you find yourself telling stories of the past and just settling on those and you have no new stories, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Move forward in faith. Come on, live, everybody lift your hands to heaven. Say, I'm gonna live in the place of the blessing. I'm going to live in the place of the blessing. Okay, now say this. I'm going to live in the place of the blessing by taking steps of faith and obeying God. By taking steps of faith and obeying God all of my life. Say that. All of my life. Somebody said, well, what are you going to do now that the building's built? I've gotten over the trauma of building it. It was very challenging. So grateful for Shiloh. So grateful for all of your generosity moving forward. Let's build more. Let's do more. You know, wait, don't freak out on me. I'm just saying we're not settling here. We're going to reach 10,000 people. Come on, somebody in the house of God. We will see 10,000 people a part of this. We will plant churches all over the earth. Are you kidding me right now, Pastor? I'm tired. Lift your hands if you're tired. Receive strength from heaven right now. Keep going. Keep taking steps of faith. Don't abort the plan of God. Live in the place of the blessing by taking steps of faith and obeying. And it never stops. You never retire. Put your best hand clap together for God all across this place. Hallelujah. Come on, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Be someone who never stops. Don't ever settle. Amen and amen. Put your hands together one more time for God. Amen, amen. Now, as I said earlier, I want to follow through on. Maybe you're here with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you don't know Jesus like I've been talking to you like that. You don't know him like that. You've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let me say to you that God loves you. He has an amazing plan for your life, but sir, ma'am, brother, sister, you're separated from the plan of God because of sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life. You must repent. You must change the way that you think. You must ask him to forgive you for where you've fallen short, for where you've sinned, where you've lied, where you've stolen. Give your life to Jesus today for the first time. Or in a recommitment all across this place. You say, that's me, Pastor Daniel. Come on, just lift your hand. You say, that's me. Lift your hand right now if that's you. You want to get right with God first time or you want to recommit. God bless you. God bless you. Lift your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. All across this place, those online, God bless you. Come on, make a decision for Christ. Come on, choose the cross. You want the new life? You must make this first step of faith. Receive Jesus. Lift your hand if that's you. Lift it high. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful. Pray with me right out loud, right where you are. Would you all stand up on your feet? Would you all just stand and pray this right out loud with me? Every person in this place, whether it be an affirmation of your faith or you're praying it for the first time or you're making a rededication to God, pray with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. I believe that he rose again from the grave. Forgive me, Lord, for all of my sin, and come into my heart. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Would you lift your hands once again as a sign of surrender to God? Let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, I pray, touch now. Fill these with your precious Holy Spirit. Break every chain, break every bondage, every curse, and put a deep longing and a desire to know you, God, in the hearts of your people, of those who prayed that prayer. May they long to serve you, and may they fulfill the purpose and plan. May they take steps of faith all of their life to see your plan come about. God, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.